This week on Art of the Air, we feature artist couple Julian Quayle and Amy Alexander, whose artistic collaboration as Alexander and Quayle was born of a pandemic lockdown. Next, we feature Chester-based plein air oil artist Christine Newton, whose work is focused on nostalgic structures. Our spotlight is on Art Barn's 7th annual Art Blitz on September 16th.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air, our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.
Welcome. You're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, WVLP 103.1 FM, and WDSO 88.3 FM, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. Art on the Air is heard every Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Also heard on Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at wvlp.org. Our spotlight interviews are also heard Wednesdays on Lakeshore Public Media. Information about Art on the Air is available at our website, breck.com/AOTA. That includes a complete show archive, spotlight interviews, plus our show is available on multiple podcast platforms, including NPR One. Please like us on Facebook, Art on the Air, WVLP, for information about upcoming shows and interviews. And we'd like to welcome to Art in the Air Spotlight from Art Barn School of Art. They have a great event coming up, and it's their 7th annual Art Blitz. With us is Amy Davis Navratakis, the Executive Director, and Melissa Wasserman, the Program Manager. Welcome to Art on the Air Spotlight.
Aloha. Thank
you. Thanks for having us.
Tell us a little bit about Art Blitz, if there's anything, what you're doing, and anything new this year.
Okay, well,
yeah, big changes.
This is Amy. I'm going to give a little bit of an overview about the festival for anyone who doesn't already know. It's Art Barn's annual festival, and it's been in the third weekend of August for the last 7 years, which is how long we've been running it. And this year it's going to be September 16th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. This year we're going to a one-day festival. So we highlight all of our educational activities during this festival, and it, you know, just generally provides a fun day for the whole family because our activities are available, you know, accessible to all ages.
So what type of activities do we expect to see? Of course, I've been there a couple times. What activities do we have when someone comes to this who has not been there before?
Some of our popular activities that we'll be having again this year are some hands-on collaborative activities for all ages, including a mural project that'll be installed on the side of our building. Every year, we kind of add to this collaborative mural project on the side of the barn. And we will have chair painting and ink on vellum. So those are kind of fun, you know, really satisfying hands-on art activities that anybody can just jump in and do for a little while. And those will be running all day long. We also feature artist demonstrations so people can kind of watch some different art techniques and see how they're done, everything from watercolor and pastel to the plein air painters and some ceramics activities so people will get to watch how wheel throwing ceramics works. And last but not least, something I'm very excited about is some programming around our fairly new Monarch Gardens. We are part of, we now have a certified Monarch Way Station on the grounds. We will be doing a Monarch Butterfly release and have some information around just important native pollinators and why we chose to have some pollinator gardens and Monarch Butterfly support here on our campus.
Can you tell us about the Pollinator Parade? That sounds like so much fun.
Yeah, we have. We work with a local woman who raises monarch butterflies from Caterpillar. And so we'll be doing a release, and there's kind of a photo opportunity. So if people want to observe the butterflies and kind of learn how to take some good photographs of those wildflowers and insects and things, they'll be able to kind of learn how to do that and have a really fun opportunity to know that they'll have some subjects and some monarchs to see. They tend to kind of spread out and enjoy our monarch gardens, but also the sunflowers that we have growing on site. We're getting the sunflowers planted now, so they should be in full bloom in mid-September. So that'll be really wonderful.
Is that a timed event? Is there like a certain time that the butterflies will be released?
Yes. Yeah. And that's usually midday sometime. We're still working on the final schedule, but, you know, look for that and, you know, around lunchtime, early afternoon.
About the animal ambassadors, do you know who's going to be visiting?
Well, our animal ambassadors will be, for the most part, in their pens. So we do have a resident donkey, Moses, and our resident bunny. So they will be on site, and hopefully our smaller visitors won't be sticking fingers through, you know, the fences or anything like that. And we don't want to encourage feeding or anything like that. But we do also have chickens. We do kind of tend to keep them in their pen during the day just because there's a lot going on and chickens running around everywhere. So you know, the chickens may not be out, but we do have our unicorn Sparkle, who makes appearances. So she will be making timed appearances during the event as well. So we'll be publishing those times ahead of the event.
And music acts. What do you have coming in to do music this year?
Well, we're still working on that. I think that I don't have any names named yet. So we are still working on it, but we will have a full schedule and full stage because I don't know who's doing what when. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, and so that's a good point. So we have our hands-on art activities. We have demonstrations. We have the stage set up all day with different regional musicians and music acts. And we also have food available. We'll have some food trucks here. So it's really, I mean, it is a festival. It's an open house. It's a festival. There's all kinds of things and people can definitely make a day of it.
And hike the trails. You do have like 69 acres, right?
Yes, we do. We do. We have the acreage. And this year, one of the new things that we're kind of, or one of the things I guess we're bringing back from when this used to be the Sunflower Festival is we're bringing back hay rides. So,
wonderful.
Yeah. So that'll be timed as well. So, of course, people are, you know, perfectly, welcome to hike the trails as well. But we'll have we'll be doing a hay ride around part of our grounds. So that'll be new. And we're going to have face painting too, I think. So
there's a lot of sort of a scavenger hunt as well.
Well, we only have about a minute left. Is there any other quick things you want to tell us about going in late August and September that are happening in Art Barn? And also tell us how they can find you and every information online.
Sure. Well, we'll be starting up our fall class schedule right after Art Blitz concludes. We have some new classes. Of course, year round, we have our sort of foundation classes, our watercolor, drawing, pastels. And this year, we're adding some writing workshops and classes for people who may want to develop their fiction writing skills. And we have a oil painting workshop with Mark Vandervine happening in October. And we are also adding some colored pencil classes to the slate. And this is in addition to our kids classes that run weekly as well. We have kids ceramics and kids creativity.
So you can register at artbarnschool.org or call us at 219-462-9009.
Well, we appreciate coming on Art of the Year Spotlight. The 7th Annual Art Blitz, Saturday, September 16th, 9 to 5 p.m. That's Amy Davis, Navadakis, and Melissa Washburn. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you. It sounds like a jam-packed, fun event.
It will be.
Thanks so much. Thank you, Larry and Esther.
Art on the Air Spotlight and the complete one-hour program on Lakeshore Public Media is brought to you by Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And as a reminder, if you'd like to have your event on Art on the Air Spotlight or have a longer feature interview, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BREC.com.
Hi there, this is Public Radio theme composer BJ Lederman, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM and on WVLP 103.1 FM.
We would like to welcome Amy Alexander and Julian Quayle to Art on the Air. Together they are Alexander plus Quayle. Amy's artist beginnings started at a young age. She's been selling her work through art festivals, her website, and various retail shops across the U.S., including Urban Outfitters. Amy's work has been purchased for the films Girl with the Dragon Tattoo and Rock of Ages, and also promoted by Sharpie. She was on the 2012 Sharpie Squad. Julian is from Northern England and is a creative director with over 20 years design experience in advertising. He studied photography and graphic design in England. Julian's career spans from designing record covers in London, including one of David Bowie's, to San Francisco, working with well-known brands such as Nike, Apple, Toyota, Levi's, Converse, Serena Williams, and many others. Thank you both for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome to both of you. Hi, Amy. Hi, Julian.
Hi.
Hello.
Welcome, both of you. What we like to start with, and we're going to start with Amy, tell us a little bit about your background. I always like to say how you got from where you were to where you are now. So, Amy, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm from a very small town in the foothills of California called Cool, like C-O-O-L. Very cool there. There's one stop sign. When I was about 12 years old, a good friend of my grandma's invited me to a graduation in San Francisco. And that's where I discovered that you could do art for a job as a living. It was just like my aha moment. And I was like, I'm going to grow up and move to San Francisco and be an artist. And so from there, I went to Sacramento State. I started going for graphic design. And I got really sick and I ended up in and out of the hospital. And I switched to an art degree so I could graduate faster. And at that point, I got a job in Berkeley with a jewelry designer making jewelry.
Oh, well, that explains why the jewelry.
Yeah.
Earlier in your career and like in your life, I mean, you had that aha moment, but did you have any other early influences in art, like a teacher in school or things like that? You know, was that not part of your scenario when you were younger?
And when you were thinking of an artist, what were you thinking of? Like, was there a particular discipline that attracted you?
I don't think there was. Like, the small town I was from, art wasn't a thing. Like, we barely had art class. And in high school, I did do yearbook. I think that's why I started going towards graphic design, because that's what I knew I could, you know, make a book, do the design for that, layout kind of stuff. And then as I did art stuff in college, I just randomly picked up a Sharpie and started tracing that my Dr. Pepper bottle top into circles. And that's how the circle designs got started. And I took it from there.
Yeah, I love the circles.
Amy's a massive Dr. Pepper fan. She's usually got a liter bottle that she just totes around with her everywhere.
So you got your degree and you started doing what with that work? You know, you're out and about.
I was making jewelry for the jewelry designer, and I entered a little fair, like local fair contest, and I won. And my boss was like, why don't you just be a real artist instead of doing like the silly little fair? And I just started drawing, and I turned that into greeting cards and made a website and started doing festivals, opened a store, just went with it.
And so while you were doing that, were you still working with the jewelry designer?
No, around the, 2008 crash, when like metals skyrocketed and
yeah,
sales dropped. And so I moved back to Cool with my family, and that's when I had a lot of time to draw.
And then post that. What have you been doing more lately?
Lately? Well, since I met Julian, I started taking his drawings and coloring his drawings. And that's we started.
Okay, so how did Sharpie find you?
I think from Facebook. Yeah.
What does it mean to be on the Sharpie squad?
They sent me Sharpies for a year. Just supplies of their new products, their different products. And I just posted about it on my Facebook. They had some like prompts. They gave me a file of some band and I helped draw, like get people to draw their feelings about a song. I don't really remember, but yeah, something like that.
A year of Sharpie sounds very nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll ask you this. How did the pandemic, you kind of touched on this, but how did the pandemic also affect you both personally and maybe in your art? I mean, was it a shutdown for you internally, or maybe you're more creative? Or
I loved it, actually. Okay. We moved into this apartment the day of lockdown, so we had a lot of time to unpack and just be in our space. And that's when I started taking Julian's drawings and coloring those as well. Yeah, stealing Julian's drawings. And that's how Alexander Quayle came together.
Julian, when you were doing the drawings, did you see them having color in that? Or was Amy just sort of surprise you?
No, not at all. Because, you know, as you mentioned in the intro there, you know, my professional life, if you like, has been mostly, well, photography first and then graphic design. And then this is before lockdown, though, but several years ago, in the evenings, I just started doing drawings. This is actually before I met Amy, and they were pretty rubbish at first, actually. And well, they still are kind of, you know, they're intentionally not very good in inverted commas. But I just started doing drawings in the evenings or whenever, on a train or whatever, you know. And then I had accumulated, I mean, I think I've got about 10,000 of them at this point. And then, like Amy said, I didn't have any plan for that whatsoever. I didn't have any plan for them at all until much later, when I thought, oh, some of these are quite funny, and maybe I can do something with them. And then maybe it was some sort of psychic link that Amy picked up on, because she started like grabbing them and turning them into these kind of high fidelity, expertly rendered Sharpie things and mounting them and making them look kind of way cooler.
You have like tremendous Sharpie skills. Those TikToks that you do, I'm just like, they're mesmerizing.
So, Amy, I would like to punt it back to you before we get to the journey that you had. Tell us a little bit about how you guys got together. And I think that's a very interesting story.
My best friend lives on the East Coast in Maine, and she was friends with Julian and his friends way back when, and they invited her to come skiing with them in Tahoe. And that's when I was living up in Cool. And so they had to basically drive by my house to go to Tahoe. And Kim was like, I'm picking you up. I don't want to go alone with all these boys. And so they picked me up along the way. I was actually texting him before I met him, because Kim was driving, and he said, this is Jules. And I thought he was a girl for at least a few hours before I actually met him.
That's like an old nickname of mine, Jules. Somehow it's gone back to Julian, but I was always called Jules as a kid, and all my friends growing up called me that. But Americans like to call me Julian, so you know.
Yeah, you know how we are. We like that formal name from Britain and everything. So you're on the slopes together and everything. So how did that connect? Was it kind of love at first sight, or?
And no, we actually didn't ski. Our friends went skiing. I'd never been skiing. And he had a bad back, so we couldn't go skiing. And when we just kind of hung out together, and we didn't really start talking until afterwards on Facebook. Got together after that.
Basically, I was having to move, and I told Amy on a text or something, and she just kind of very casually said, well, she was still living in Kushka, you can come and stay here if you want for the time being. And so that was the beginning. We just I moved up to Cool for a while, and it started straight away. And I would just sit there doing drawings and taking the Amtrak down to San Francisco and back. We were living on this property that had 10 acres of land, forest, and we just dragged a mattress outside instead of sleeping inside because it was really hot. And we just set up like an outside bedroom, and we just slept out there for like, what, 6 months or something. And we went to the thrift stores, and we bought like old cassette tape machines and old cassette tapes, and we'd have those playing outside. And everyone was sort of like, oh, you're going to get eaten by bears. And we didn't. So, you know, you live to tell the tale. But yeah, that was a good fun part of it as well. And that's when Amy had a shop in Auburn, which is in California on the way to Tahoe.
Was it a shop for your drawings and jewelry?
It was just my drawings and prints and cards and things. It was a very tiny shop.
Well, Julian, we kind of want to hear your origin story. You know, we had Amy's, and so, you know, you're across from that little pond between us and the colonies here. So tell us about your origin story, how you got from where you were to where you are now.
Oh, sure. So I was born in Sheffield, England, which is in the north in County of Yorkshire. And I grew up climbing trees and swimming in rivers and riding crappy old bikes and making go-karts out of boxes and things, and had a pretty good childhood like that. I was always interested in art from a really early age. Both my parents were teachers. My mum taught primary school, and my dad was head teacher of special ed school. And mum was really creative in all kinds of ways, embroidery, knitting. You know, if she was doing a project at school about cavemen, she'd build a cave out of paper mache and chicken wire and paint it, and, like, you know, always did so. My dad sort of taught me, well, helped me to draw when I was young. And, you know, if I'd seen the spaceman on TV or something, I'd be like, Dad, can you show me how to draw a spaceman? Or it might be a jumbo jet, or a, you know, scuba diver, or, you know, stuff like that. And so all the way through school, yeah, from a really early age, I was interested in all kinds of artwork, but I guess a lot of it was drawing. And ended up after school, high school, going to do a fine art degree. And that was great because I specialized in photography, but we did everything, you know, painting, printmaking, sculpture, glass blowing, ironically, because Amy's involved with helping with some glass blowers nowadays. And, you know, graduated from college and did a couple of boring things, and then became a freelance photographer, and then kind of had become really interested in the graphic design world. So I went back to school and studied a bit of graphic design. I moved to London and I worked at a couple of really great design studios there. And then I ended up moving over here, and that was 25 years ago now. And carried on with graphic design, and the years went by, and I just sort of eventually ended up starting doodling. And then, the way that I do my draw, when I first started doing them, it literally was, I would take a pen and I would just do a scribble on a piece of paper, and then I'd sort of try and turn it into a face. So they were really kind of not that great, but they were funny. And as time went along, because I was doing stuff in the evenings, I just really it wasn't supposed to be an art project. I wasn't thinking about it. And I realized that these stories were kind of creating themselves out of my kind of subconscious brain. And so I just started to think, well, that's actually, you know, interesting, at least it is to me, because I didn't care about anybody else at the time. I wasn't doing it for an audience. I was just doing it, you know, kind of almost like art therapy or something. And
so much different from the art direction. I mean,
yeah, completely. Maybe it was an antidote. You know, I remember one time when I was working doing some project for Apple, and it was very precise and controlled and boring, you know, and I would go home in the evening and I would just do something completely mad and artistic that was kind of like shake off all the discipline of what I'd just been doing and just do something with no meaning or purpose, but just to kind of like end of the day, you know, just kind of get it out. And but when I started giving much thought to any of my drawings, I realized that they were interesting and different because I wasn't thinking about it, and because these stories pulling on my past and my experiences and would combine different experiences, and I like to write words that are, you know, to accompany the image, that are usually, hopefully, a bit abstract in the way they all relate together. It just kind of built up a head of steam, and one day I realized I'd done, you know, hundreds, and now it's thousands, and sometimes I'll do 20 in a day or something. And you mentioned lockdown earlier, so yeah, we literally moved in here the day of lockdown, and I was supposed to be starting quite a big design project which got cancelled because of the lockdown. And so yeah, me and Amy were just sort of drawing, you know, and or I was drawing and Amy was kind of grabbing them and coloring them in, and then it went from there. We just started doing it sort of for fun, really, and then people started asking about them, and Amy had put a website together, and we sell stuff online, and we started having people ask us to put stuff in shows, and you know, and it's at that stage where hopefully, you know, the snowball is kind of slowly gathering. We haven't been like in the kind of public eye until fairly recently, but you know, we've got stuff in a couple of shows in San Francisco now. We submitted something to the De Young and it just was rejected yesterday, but they had like,
you know, I so appreciate you posting that. I'm assuming it was, did you post that?
Yeah,
thank you for doing that. Haven't we seen all of that? But I never thought to post it. It was really refreshing.
Yeah, I think it's like some people I talked to, they were afraid to apply. And I was like, the worst that can happen is you get an email that says no. Like,
right.
We all get them. We get multiple rejection emails. So.
I just told Amy it's because we're too cool for the De Young. So that's my opinion.
I don't know. I think when you start out in cool California, that's really a high bar, really. It's just like the best name ever. It's,
yeah.
So tell us about your combined studio a little bit, how that came together. And I think you kind of touched on that. Two artists, one studio is your thing. So tell us a little bit about the coming together.
I'll let Amy give that a go to start with.
I'm not really sure how it just came together. Like, we've just been locked down in our apartment, I guess. It just became, it's more of a studio than an apartment now.
it's technically an apartment, but it's not. It's, there is painting, well, Sharpie things, and there's stuff. Every surface in here, apart from kitchen, is dedicated to, you know, some sort of creative endeavor. And, you know, we sometimes have to do this thing where we just do some sort of massive arrangement to try and make a bit more space. So we're kind of, we're hoping to find a studio space, hope not too far from where we live, because we live in a little tucked away place called Point Richmond, which is in the San Francisco Bay Area, but it's like a little old Victorian, kind of old style California enclave, and it's got a beach and stuff. So we don't want to have to go to San Francisco necessarily every day, but we're figuring out a way to make more space. And there's quite a few cool old buildings around here that, we're kind of eyeing up. One thing, actually, just as a little segue about living here in Point Richmond, we do go to San Francisco frequently, and there's a ferry that goes from here to San Francisco. It takes 30 minutes, and you go past, you know, the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz, and you know, it might be the sunset when you're coming back, and it's just absolutely fantastic. And sometimes we just go on it just for fun.
Oh, it's a holiday all in itself,
right?
Well, it's like a mini cruise or something.
Yeah, it's $4.50, best bakery.
So, Amy, your own work is very intense labor. I mean, you put a lot into those drawings. So what compelled you to pull Julian's and start coloring those?
My own work, because all the dots, I could feel it in my shoulder. And it just, I could only do, I was getting older. And I just needed to do something without the dots for a minute. And so I took one of his drawings and did it in my style. I did it big with a big, thick line, and it just evolved from there. Like, he had input like thinner lines. And it took a while to merge to find the balance.
Well, actually, what happened eventually, because when Amy started working on my drawings, and she basically, you know, she'll take the drawing, she'll make a picture, photo on a phone, size it to the size she likes, print it out, then trace it onto some nice paper with a black Sharpie, and then fill it in. And so, because this hadn't happened before, my initial reaction was one of kind of, oh my God, what have you done to my drawing? You know, shock horror kind of thing. And so we had this kind of friction period where I'd be kind of like, oh, I'm really uncomfortable with this, and that's not, you know, and eventually I just got over it. And so, you know, Amy grabs the ones she likes. I don't even help her select. She just grabs the ones she likes. They tend to be the simpler ones because some of the drawings are quite complicated, but that wouldn't work in this format. But now I just, you know, I'm just like, look, you do you on that part of the process. I'll generate drawings and then you just choose and do what you want. And so I'm okay with that now.
Well, we're going to give you a minute as we're starting to wrap up here. You just closed your Summer Solstice Art Walk exhibit, and you have one coming up. Can you tell us about upcoming exhibitions you have?
The current one, Sunset Pride, ends August 27th, I believe.
Is it?
And then next, we don't really have anything on the calendar. We're going to do Craneway Craft Fair Thanksgiving weekend in Richmond, and that's in the building that they used to make or assemble Model T Ford cars.
It's a huge, enormous building on the bay, and it's being renovated, and it's incredible. It's just this massive, super cool, historic building, and there's a big fair that we're doing there. Yeah.
Yeah. And during the war, they assembled tanks there, and that's where Rosie the Riveter got started. So it's a really cool, historic building.
Very good. And how can we find you on web, internet, things like that?
AlexanderQuayle.com is our website. I have artistical.com is my website. JulianQuayle.com is his design website.
It might be, so the spelling of my last name is not like the bird, it's Q-U-A-Y-L-E. But yeah, we have those. We have Instagram for Alexander Quayle and TikTok for Alexander Quayle. My graphic design website is julianquayle.com. I have an Instagram for the drawings that are actually the like the source material for this, just the sort of, you know, the stuff that I do with pencil pretty much 95% of the time. And that is called Quayle Life Boy, Q-U-A-Y-L-E-L-I-F-E-B-O-Y. That's my Instagram. It's not particularly curated. It's just somewhere I kind of push stuff up. And
it's where I steal the stuff from.
Oh, is that where you steal it from? Yeah. Oh, you don't actually look at the drawings?
I do.
Oh, right.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. Alexander and Quayle, otherwise Julian Quayle and Amy Alexander, and you can find them very easily on the web and everything. Thank you so much for sharing your art and art journey on Art on the Air.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, so much fun. Thank you.
Thank you.
Art on the Air listeners, do you have a suggestion for a possible guest on our show? Whether it's an artist, musician, author, gallery, theater, concert, or some other artistic endeavor that you are aware of, or a topic of interest to our listeners, email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck.com.
This is Karen Maravilla with It's Just Serendipity, and you're listening to Art on the Air on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, and on WVLP, 103.1 FM.
Greetings from Billy and Renee Foster.
We are musicians, jazz radio show hosts, and advocates for the arts. to Art on the Air and its dedicated hosts, Larry Breckner and Esther Golden.
We want to thank you for this outstanding program and exceptional service to our arts community.
No better way to stay informed as to what's happening in the arts than to listen to this informative show.
Not only do we get the information, but the opportunity to listen to the thoughts of the artists themselves.
We wish you many wonderful years of success.
And as we say on the Billy Foster Jazz Zone,
Don't let what you can't do stop you from doing what you can.
We would like to welcome Christine Newton to Art on the Air. Christine started oil painting at 13 years old and was offered a scholarship to study art at IU. She chose to attend the American Academy of Art in Chicago. She spent many years as a graphic designer for a sign company before starting her own business doing design work. After 13 years, she switched careers and opened an insurance company. In 2018, she started devoting more time to her personal art. Thank you for joining us on Art on the Air. Aloha and welcome, Christine. Hi.
Thank you. Hi, Esther. Hello, Larry.
Oh, it's great to have you on. So we wanted to find a little bit about your personal journey and how it got to art, you know, your background, your bio. How I like to say is how you got from where you were to where you are now. So tell us all about yourself.
Okay. Well, I grew up in Merrillville with my three siblings and my parents, and we were in a rural area of Merrillville, Ross Township area, which is a great place to grow up. My mom had studied fashion design, and she was was really good at drawing. So she would always interest me with her quick, you know, little people she would draw. I don't know. And growing up, my life was full with arts and crafts. So my aunt was an artist. Both my aunts were artists, really. And so my mom would take us to like Bible study in the summer, and we would always do crafts. So, and I did a lot of art with my brother. We would color and draw, and he would teach me little tricks like how to do a house in perspective. So my childhood had a lot of art involved. I went to Merrillville High School, and when I started, I was 13 because we had the, you know, the freshman through senior at Merrillville High School back then. And one of my teachers, she introduced me to oil painting. She introduced the whole class to oil painting. And at that time, you know, I just fell in love with it. And she continued to teach me throughout the school year and a couple other students too. So, and all three of us went on to have, you know, our lives filled with, you know, art. We continued our art throughout our lives. So that was really a great influence in my life. I ran into her as an adult in Porter County at the Chesterton Art Center. She had won, you know, the, you know, first prize at one of the art shows. And I was just so glad to see her again. So
did you work in that high school time? Did you work exclusively with oils, or were you introduced to other medium, acrylics and pastels and charcoal? And,
you know, I did, but when I was studying under her, she allowed me to do oils throughout the year. And she taught me everything about mixing colors, about, you know, she was very strict. You know, she taught me the fundamentals of painting. And, you know, you don't put black on your palette. So you had to mix everything. And it was just, you know, she taught you how to do depth. And, you know, she really influenced my painting a lot. It was great. I'm looking back, I realize now, you know, what a great treat that was to have. I had other art classes. So throughout high school, I did, you know, I continued art through every year. And, you know, in the other ones, we did ceramics and we did drawing and we did, you know, basic art, you know, watercolors. I guess we did pastels. I don't really remember. You know, so But while I was there, IU had offered like a, it wasn't a scholarship at this time. It was just, it was like a competition, and the winners would get to go to camp for 2 weeks at IU. And I was chosen as one of them. And that was really another great influence. And so while I was there, I met a lot of other artists. It was a lot of fun. When I left, they offered me a scholarship, and my dad wanted me to take it. But I had gone to American Academy of Art for a just kind of a field trip, and I loved it. And so that's where I wanted to go, and I took a portfolio, and they accepted me. So that's where I studied. But also as a young person, my aunt was the superintendent of the Arts and Craft Building for the Porter County Fairgrounds. Oh. So she let me help. Well, you know, she paid me to help. We'd clean all the cases, and we'd get to see all the crafts and the quilting and the baked goods, the canned goods. So, like I said, my childhood was diverse with art. It was wonderful. But so after college, I graduated from American Academy of Art, and I had a degree in technology and graphic arts. I went to my first job was as a graphic artist for a sign company. And while I was there, because it was smaller, I got to make the life-size patterns, and everything was done by hand. There weren't computers. I mean, there were, but it wasn't widespread. So I learned to do patterns. I learned to hand letter. You know, we were already lettering in college, but this was, you know, a little bigger. And I got to do a few billboards, which was really nice. When I left, I went on to have my own design company, which was small. It was just me. But then I went on to start building awnings, designing awnings, building commercial awnings, and also designing full sign packages for commercial buildings. And I had a few franchises. I had a sign company do all the building, so and installation, all the electrical. But I did make the awnings. I didn't make the frames. I did the fabric. After about, I'd say it was 12, 13 years, I changed over to insurance. I needed something that was a steady income and not the pills and, you know, feast or famine of being, you know, a small business. Really, it was just me, kind of an artisan business. So
then let's talk about art. You have an insurance business, and you still do. And I think I know recently, because we know each other, recently you absorbed another insurance company. So that keeps you busy. But you still are doing art, and you have your own website, and you exhibit. So tell us a little bit about your post-graphic design and awning work into what art you do now.
Well, throughout the years, I've been able to do a little bit of art. Nothing great when I first started my business in the insurance. So I really got kind of distant from it. There would just be periods where I'd be able to paint. And my big interest was always fine arts. It wasn't so much the commercial end, but I figured that's where I could earn a living. So really about 2016, I started to really get more involved in my art. And that's when I was introduced to plein air painting, which is what my main passion now. So which I still do oils, but plein air is when you're painting outdoors, and it's the a la prima, where you're painting wet on wet. You have to paint, you don't have to, but painting fast is a good quality to have when you're painting outdoors, because the light and the weather changes, so you want to capture everything as quick as possible. It also adds a lot of life and movement to your painting when you're painting fast, because you're getting, you know, large brush strokes. You're not getting the nice smooth paint that you often get when you're in the studios. I still do studio painting, but that's a little bit different. It's where you're painting in layers. You'll allow a layer to dry and paint, you know, over it, so you can get more detail. And I like to experiment with different techniques when I'm in the studio.
What was the subject matter of that
first painting in high school as a freshman. So what subject matter did you paint?
I believe it was a street going down between trees. It was just some trees with the road going down. It was something simple, yeah.
What are some of your subjects that you like to do that evolved? You do some paint plein air, but you also do things that are not plein air in the studio. So tell us a little bit about some of the subjects that you're drawn to.
I really like structures. I still love landscapes, but I like to have a structure within the landscape. And so, you know, buildings, bridges, mainly buildings. I like unique buildings. You know, if they're falling down, I like barns. I like, you know, beach houses. So,
do you ever work from a photograph, or is it, you know, like you take a photograph of something and then you say, I'm going to paint this later, like in the studio?
Yes, I'll do that. For studio painting, I'll do that. A lot of times I like to do, if I get a photo, I'd like to, you know, at least spend a little time really trying to make a memory of the feeling of the spot, you know, the sound, and, you know, if I can do that, if I have time, I like to do that so I can, when I go back to the studio, I can bring the feel of the location with me.
What size do you like to paint?
You know, I paint between, you know, like 11 by 24 to, in the studio, that's my typical size, but out in the field, I paint 9 by 12s for the most part. Mm.
Looking at some of your work, you don't do people very often, but I did see one that's in your private collection called Stepping Out. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, is that just kind of an anomaly, or you still do sometimes people in your work?
It's something I want to get more time with. It's definitely something I want to start doing in portraits. I always love figure drawing and portrait drawing, but I've not been that skilled at painting. I've tried to do a couple portraits and they are really bad. So when I have a little more time, I'm going to spend time, you know, perfecting that skill. Yeah.
Yeah. Everything with practice.
Practice, practice. That's how you get to a Carnegie Hall or the thing. So what exhibits have you been in? And I know this, but like for our audience, you've been exhibiting around the area, but tell us some of the galleries your work has been shown at.
Really, the only thing I've done is at the Art Center and at the Art Barn, and simply because with my business, it's still very consuming, and so I try to put all my time into getting better at painting and, you know, putting my time into practice and not so much exhibiting, but I do enjoy exhibiting, yeah.
Which exhibit at the Art Barn?
Well, I've done quite a few. I think I've exhibited there now 3 years in a row. I did like Apple Still Life. I did.
No, like for their gallery show or for specific.
Oh, yeah. Just like it wasn't a show that I was doing. It wasn't a single person show. It was a group show. So their annual.
Juried show. Because we were both in the juried show several times. So
yes, exactly. Mm-hmm.
And then you were also in at the Chestnut Arts Center, I think, the Women's Club show and the Members show and a few others like that.
Exactly.
Is there any other medium, you know, you're concentrated in oil that you want to explore that you haven't done? I mean, is there something like, okay, I've done this all my life, but maybe I should try whatever that is?
I do a little bit of watercolors, but, you know, it's kind of like, no, I just want to get the best I can be at oils. So,
So how does the insurance business intrude on your time for that? I mean, that's kind of an interesting flip to go from the art world into something that's very business-like. Tell us about that transition and how you sometimes use different kinds of parts of your brain to do insurance versus how do you do the art?
You know, you said there was a huge, and there was a huge shift from having your design company to segueing into insurance. So what was that moment where you went, I'm going to go do this?
Well, when I was doing, had the sign business, I was contracting with a sign company in Burns Harbor, and the owners were really good friends of mine. You know, we'd become good friends over the years, but the ownership changed. And so it was I also moved out from Lake County out to Porter County. So there was that big, you know, the move, and then there was the change in, you know, who would be doing my signs. And the new owner had one of my sign packages was in the middle of being built when the ownership changed, and it was a mess. And I really was very, I want things on time, I want things done right. And I got that with the other company. And with this company, I just felt we didn't have the same relationship. And it just, yeah. I knew that I either had to go big or go, you know, go a different avenue. And I had friends in the insurance world, and it sounded fun. And there is a lot of fun in it, but lately it's a lot more work than I'm pleased with. But it's just the economy right now has changed, has made insurance, it's turned it into a hard market. So a lot of underwriting.
Yeah, and there's a lot of challenges with the types of things you have to insure and the liability that goes with that and everything. So, again, is there any subjects then, and since it's not so much techniques, but any subjects that you'd like to explore that you haven't done? I mean, you've done mostly structures and scenics and things like that, but and I see one in your private collection that's of a young lady sitting under an umbrella. Does that happen to be your daughter by chance?
Yes, okay. It is. Yeah. Well, I think that is. I mean, I want to get more into portraits. I want to get better at portraits. I want to get better at painting people. Drawing a person is, you know, so different than painting a person. You know, it's just getting the colors right, getting everything. You know, when you have a pencil, you can get the detail you want. It's, you know, it's just a little point that you're working with. But when you're doing brush strokes, it's, you know, it's a little more difficult. Yeah. So that's one thing I want to really get improve on. And really transitioning from insurance to art is not a big problem. You know, it's just a different mindset. And when I come in after painting, I have a really great attitude. So kind of it stays with me. You know, it's like I have to get my painting fixed or, you know, I'm not so happy.
So are you just teaching yourself or are you mentoring with anyone in oil painting? Have you taken any instruction recently?
I've done online instruction, so I've done a lot of mixed, you know, a variety of other artists. They're pretty much all plein air artists, either artists who do their studies outdoors and then bring it into the studio, or they, you know, are fully 100% plein air. So, you know, I've purchased their videos, instructional videos, and done like Zoom, you know, instruction. So, yeah. I was doing a lot of classes in, let's say, I think around 2018. I did some classes in 2016. And I've done some plein air, long, you know, week-long studies where you're with a group of other artists playing, you know.
Well, that sounds very nice.
Yeah.
Is there any artist that you have you admire their work, whether famous or local, or that you say, "Oh, I really like what they do," and has that influenced your art?
Yes, there's several artists that I really, you know, living artists. I love Albert Hendel, John McDonald, Lori Putnam, Chris Lashley. Their work is just phenomenal to me. But there's so many wonderful artists. It's just, you know, it's just a pleasure for me to watch, to look at their work and study their work. Mark Vanderven is a local artist and his work is beautiful, but there's so many other fabulous artists in the area too.
So true.
So if you retire from the insurance biz, will you do more art then? I mean, I'm not pushing you toward retirement because you're still a young lady and stuff, but I mean, is there a point that you'd say, okay, well, I'm going to hand this off to someone else and go do my art?
Yes. Yes. That's my retirement goal, is just to be able to paint and, I mean, enjoy my family and, you know, all the other good things you do when you're retired.
So. Plus you're a relatively new grandma too, so.
Yes, that's so exciting. Maybe I'll get one more. We'll see.
There you go. Well, I think you have to talk about that with your daughter. So, yeah. But then you might have some subjects to paint if you want to start working on portraiture.
I know. That's one of my first portraits I have to do, is my grandbaby.
Well, good. And we want to give you a chance to tell how people can see your work online. And if you, do you do commissions and how they can reach out to you? I know you have a Facebook presence besides your personal one and your website. So tell us a little bit about those and how to reach out to you.
People can email me at chrisnewtongallery@gmail.com. You can reach me through Facebook. And
your website is apaintinglife.com.
It is.
Yeah, and that's for your own personal gallery. So you can find it at paintinglife.com. You also have a separate Facebook page, Chris Newton Work, and it's the Newton Art Gallery. And you can find out everything you want to know about Chris Newton, and we're afraid to ask. Maybe also you might get an insurance client out of that.
Oh, that'd be great. You could always use more clients. But I don't do commissioned work. I mean, it's very rare I would do it. So, because I just want, like I said, I want to enjoy and learn and not so much commission. Maybe when I retire.
Well, we appreciate you coming on Art in the Air. That's Christine Newton. You can find her on Facebook at Christine Newton Work there. Also at her website is apaintinglife.com. And you can see work there. She doesn't do commissions, but she has things for sale there. Some beautiful paintings. You find out all about her. Christine, thank you so much for coming on Art on the Air.
Yeah, thank you, Christine.
Thank you so much. This has been a pleasure being with you today. Thank you, Esther. Thank you, Larry.
We'd like to thank our guests this week on Art on the Air, our weekly program covering the arts and arts events throughout Northwest Indiana and beyond. Art on the Air is heard Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Media, 89.1 FM, also streaming live at lakeshorepublicmedia.org, and is available on Lakeshore Public Media's website as a podcast. Art on the Air is also heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Monday at 5 p.m. on WVLP 103.1 FM, streaming live at WVLP.org. Our spotlight interviews are heard every Wednesday on Lakeshore Public Media. Thanks to Tom Maloney, Vice President of Radio Operation for Lakeshore Public Media, and Greg Kovach, WVLP's station manager. Our theme music is by Billy Foster with a vocal by Renee Foster. Art on the Air is supported by an Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant, South Shore Arts, and the National Endowment for the Arts. We'd like to thank our current underwriters for Lakeshore Public Media, Macaulay Real Estate in Valparaiso, Olga Patrician, Senior Broker. And for WVLP, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. So we may continue to bring you Art in the Air. We rely on you, our listeners and underwriters, for ongoing financial support. If you're looking to support Art in the Air, we have information on our website at breck.com/AOTA, where you can find out how to become a supporter or underwriter of our program in whatever amount you are able. And like I say every week, don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. You'll feel so good about supporting Art on the Air. If you're interested in being a guest or sending us information about your arts-related event or exhibit, please email us at aota@breck.com. That's aota@breck, BRECH.com, or contact us through our Facebook page. Your hosts were Larry Breckner and Esther Golden, and we invite you back next week for another episode of Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a splendid week.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the Air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the Air our way. Express yourself through and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world.